With Montana News, I'm Sean Robb. Public Service Commission Chairman Brad Johnson says he's dropping out of the governor's race. Johnson said today that he would need to be a full-time candidate to win the Republican nomination over Bozeman businessman Greg Gianforte. Johnson says he is not willing to compromise his commitment to the PSC to do so. Johnson's announcement leaves Gianforte and Mark Perea of Helena as the only Republicans seeking to unseat incumbent Democratic Governor Steve Bullock. The candidate filing period ends March 14th. Federal and state officials have recommended the Interior Department move forward in its consideration of two coal mining projects in Montana and Wyoming's Powder River Basin. This despite an Obama administration moratorium halting federal coal sales. Today's vote by a 5-member panel clears the way for a multi-year evaluation of the projects. The January 15th moratorium from Interior Secretary Sally Jewell allows the processing of coal sale applications to proceed, but it blocks a final decision pending a sweeping review of the federal coal program that's expected to take 3 years. The Idaho-based New Jersey Mining Company has purchased a 50% stake in the Butte Highlands mine. The Montana Standard reports that New Jersey Mining purchased Timberline Resources stake in the gold mine, which is located about 15 miles south of Butte. Montana Gold Mining Company of Ontario, Canada owns the other 50% stake. New Jersey Mining CEO Del Steiner said Tuesday that it is too soon to announce when the mining will be fully operational. A bison advocate and a journalist are suing the National Park Service over access to Yellowstone National Park's bison capture facility. Amy Martin has more.
Stephanie C. of the Buffalo Field Campaign and freelance journalist Christopher Ketchum filed suit in U.S. District Court in Wyoming yesterday. The lawsuit claims the Park Service is violating the First Amendment by limiting citizen access to its bison capture facility, known as Stevens Creek. The facility is located inside the northern border of the park, a few miles from the town of Gardner.
The National Park Service doesn't want to send bison to slaughter.
Jody Lyle of Yellowstone National Park.
And we don't want to be in the business of handling wildlife in this way.
But Lyle says the Park Service is under a court-mediated settlement with the state of Montana that forces them to cull bison, which try to migrate out of the park. Last week, Yellowstone National Park hosted a tour of the empty facility. They also plan to hold two public viewing dates after bison capture operations begin. But plaintiff Stephanie C. calls these plans, quote, token tours, which will be used to whitewash the operation, unquote. The Park Service says access to the large corral is limited because of safety concerns, but C. does not believe there are any true safety threats to observers. The state and federal agencies that cooperatively manage Yellowstone bison have set a goal of culling 600 to 900 animals from the herd this year through a combination of hunting and ship to slaughter. The Park Service says approximately 200 bison have been killed in the hunt so far. For Montana Public Radio, I'm Amy Martin.
In related news, the National Park Service has finished an environmental assessment and is looking for public input on options for bison quarantine. The idea is to capture Yellowstone bison, test them for brucellosis, and then send disease-free animals elsewhere to live. Park officials say the proposed quarantine and relocation plan would help control the size of bison herds in Yellowstone National Park without having to kill them. It also aims to augment herds on Native American reservations or establish new herds on public or private land. An open house to talk over quarantine or relocation options will be held in Gardner on February 8th from 6 to 8 p.m. The Park Service is also taking public comment by mail and through an online system. You can find links to the postal and web addresses on our website, mtpr.org. The deadline for comments is February 15th. The Montana Supreme Court has scheduled arguments in the City of Missoula versus Mountain Water case for April 22nd in Missoula. The city is trying to take ownership of the privately owned water company that is the city's water utility. The hearing will be held in the morning in the University of Montana's Denison Theater as part of the UM Law School's annual Law Day. In a statement today, Mountain Water President John Kappas said the company welcomes the court's decision to hear oral arguments of the company's appeal of a district court ruling. That ruling says Missoula should be able to take ownership through condemnation. Kappas says the company has legitimate questions for the court to consider, and that it looks forward to the opportunity to present their case before the Supreme Court. Senator Steve Daines said today Montana veterans should be able to talk to VA doctors about anything they want, including whether to use medical marijuana. Claire Bergeson reports.
Senator Steve Daines said today Montana veterans should be able to talk to their VA doctors about anything they want, including whether to use medical marijuana. In a press release today, Dane said a VA directive that prevents veterans from discussing state-sanctioned medical marijuana programs with their VA doctors promotes dishonesty. Dane said that when the directive expires on January 31st, there should be no limit on what veterans and their doctors can talk about.
When Montana veterans walk into a VA facility and they talk with their doctor, they can't discuss all of the options available to them that they could discuss at a non-VA facility literally next door.
President of the Montana Cannabis Association, Mort Reed, says that he applauds Danes for the work he's doing to protect the rights of veterans. Reed says that many suffer from lifelong illnesses that could be alleviated with medical marijuana.
You know, PTSD is also a very troublesome disease that affects a vast number of the veterans that have come back from combat zones. And when you think about a lifelong illness, how do you best approach a treatment regimen for that particular illness?
Reed said that the typical treatment for vets relies on pharmaceutical narcotics and that those prescriptions have resulted in addiction and death. With Montana News, I'm Claire Bergeson.
And I'm Sean Robb. You can get Montana News anytime on our website at mtpr.org. Thanks for listening.